Hey everybody, this is Stully Efty.
And this is Heat and Shot.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And today, as Stully does very often, since I'm actually putting a lot of content out there, I know you are too, Stully. It's usually about sales. Mine's usually about product. There's this one thing that I'm really stuck on because I found it as one of the biggest challenges people have in product development, which is getting engineering estimates and really understanding how long things will take to build. And all of us that build software or even create hardware products have this problem. And hardware is even more complicated. So we're going to leave that for some other time, maybe. Not many people, I'm sure, that are listening are creating hardware. If you are creating hardware, please tweet at us. And whatnot, we'd love to hear from you because that's another fascinating challenge. So we wanted to do kind of a discussion on this because I think, Stully, you might have some thoughts and I'd love to hear your thoughts. High level, I'm digging into this in my newsletter, Product Habits, and I'm learning a lot about how people do engineering estimates. And what I find the most interesting is that this content doesn't exist on the internet about how to do engineering estimates, how to incorporate it into your sort of product development processes. And so I just got really curious and I emailed my whole email list and asked them, you know, how do you do it? And I've gotten dozens and dozens, almost over 100 responses so far. I just did this like very recently as per the recording of this podcast. And so I've been getting a lot of responses. And, you know, the short of it is there doesn't seem to be one way that people get engineering estimates and some people don't get them at all.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that, but I'm still fascinated by it. So yeah, I saw the email. I'm a subscriber to Product Habits. If you're not, go to producthabits.com and subscribe. You're crazy if you're not. And I saw that you put out that question. Hey, how does your company do engineering estimates? Do you struggle with this? I want to learn. And anytime you do that type of a thing, I know that there's going to be insights and things you'll learn that I think are going to be valuable to our listeners. And this is selfishly something I'm like, there's not been a day in my life as an entrepreneur doing software products that I've not been wondering if I'm doing this right or if we're not doing this right. And it's a struggle. I don't know anybody who feels like they've got this perfectly down. It seems from afar that some of the larger organizations have a pretty strong process in place that are really good on the product side of things. But smaller teams, I don't know, man. So let me throw this out there. Let me see. Oh. Let me pull back. Before I ask you any questions, out of the 100 responses, you said that, you know, it seems like there's not one answer to this, which isn't surprising, and a lot of people struggle with it. Did anybody surprise you in terms of their process on how they do engineering estimates? Anything new you heard or any pattern that made you go, oh, shit, it seems like a lot of people are doing this? Any kind of insights you gained from these 100 responses?
Yeah, I mean, the number one insight, you know, that I gained that was surprising to me, and it might sound obvious, but it's really surprising, is that the people that do it the best seem to have some kind of process around it. And what was even more surprising to your point about, oh, large companies, you know, having a process, et cetera, the ones that are successful that are even really small, they all have a process. And the thing about that process is it's not a generic process. Like, I can't tell you, hey, the people who are successful with it always use this one process. It's actually very, very much something they've developed on their own. That doesn't mean I think that there is no process everyone can use. It just means that today people are not doing anything with any structure. They're just making it up as they go, and the best come up with a process that really works really well for them.
So let me ask you, how do you, you know, you build multiple products. So you work with different engineer or product teams. Do you have a process in place? And if so, what is your process to do engineering estimates?
Our process is absurdly simple in terms of, you know, just how we think about it. Because I think that's like super relevant because at the different companies, they're at different stages. There's different engineering teams. But the one thing that we spent a lot of time on, you know, a long time ago, but also even recently, is literally making sure that there's a couple things, but like really making sure that the engineers on our teams understand the value of why we want to know estimates from them. So that's the number one thing. The number one thing is the engineering team understanding that we cannot actually do prioritization of our initiatives unless we understand how long they're going to take. So selling that idea, helping them understand that idea, pulling them into at least understanding your prioritization process on product development is the why behind the reasoning behind why we want estimates. It's not that we want estimates to hold you, the engineer, accountable, although that is a side effect and a core like benefit, but it isn't the main reason. The main reason is how can we determine as a team what we're going to work on and when we're going to work on it without knowing how long it's going to take. It's like saying, I'm going to go on a road trip, Steli. I don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
Well, how do you decide where the stops are? How do you decide when you sleep? How do you decide anything? If you're going to go on a long road trip, like if I say I'm going to go from here to New York, don't I need to know how long it's going to take? Don't I need to know where, when I'm going to sleep, when I'm going to drive? I mean, that's like this most absurd thing to go on a road trip, right? And not know, unless you're just like out there and just like have enough free time where you can just do it. That's totally different, but that's not how business works. And here we're talking about product development. We're talking about business. We're talking about limited resources, hourly costs, and all these things, you know, that like waste time if we don't get an estimate. I would hate for something, and this happens every day in a company. You planned on shipping today, but you didn't. Well, why didn't you? It's because someone didn't plan ahead. Someone didn't think about how long it would take. And all these things came up once you started. Well, imagine if all those things that came up once you started never came up. Well, then you'd ship on time. Okay, how do we prevent that from happening? Well, we get estimates. We do whatever it takes to get the estimate. And I'm not talking about like estimates like, you know, oh, it's going to take a week. I'm talking about detailed estimates, whatever that means for your organization. You know, I'm going to share a lot more on my email list about this, but like that's the high level of it. That's like how we do it at our companies, which is like we don't actually build anything without having an idea of how long it's going to take. And it sounds absurd to a lot of people because they are used to doing it not like that. They're used to missing dates. They're used to not having dates.
Mm. Yeah, I remember even like, I'm not sure if I remember this correctly, so take it with a grain of salt, but I remember even companies like Basecamp, I think, like saying we're not going to work on anything that would take longer than, let's say, something like 6 weeks or so, like two-week cycles. Because anything that's like a bigger project than that is so hard to manage and can easily grow out of control. Now, obviously, you know, my experience has been that, you know, in the earlier stages, if you work with really good engineers, right, good and experienced engineers, and you're at the beginning of something, building a product from scratch, I hadn't had a lot of issues with engineering estimates because people are experienced and good can fairly accurately say how long something is going to take, especially if you take very small iterative development cycles in the early days. As things grow, as your product grows in complexity, as your customer base grows in complexity, as your product team grows, I have found that then it becomes harder to be very accurate because obviously there's a lot more variables that are outside your control, right? Technology AWS goes down, right, and or some other thing happens that's unexpected. So there's more unexpected things. There's more technology that you use. Your stack is bigger. You have more customers, which means more bug issues, more things. Maybe some customer pounds your API in a way that was unexpected, and all of a sudden there are all these issues. So you have like a constant big list of things that need to be fixed and addressed with a complex large customer base. And within a larger ecosystem versus when you start where you have nothing, no customers, no users, no nothing. You have 2-3 engineers and you want to build a simple version 1 of something. That obviously estimating that is not as complex as estimating kind of a big moving thing that has to respond to all kinds of outside factors as well. Not to say that, you know, at that time you have more resources, you should be able to do that still fairly well. But in our company, honestly, like we do have a process of doing estimates. But you know, our engineering team is very careful on not giving estimates, not giving a timeline when they're not very confident that it can keep it, and being very transparent and bringing up, hey, this project, we need to break it down in like 2 cycles where we do some exploration because there's all these questions we need to figure out first before we can even tell how long certain things are going to take. So they're, you know, when they give an estimate, they're usually pretty good at keeping it, but a lot of times drag their feet a little bit before they give an estimate, right? They'll want to buy more time until they figure out a lot of things to do that. And we've gotten better at that. We've gotten better at breaking down bigger projects in multiple milestones, so you have better ways to track progress there. But I still feel like it's something that we're tackling right now as a team on getting better at that. You know, as we've grown the engineering team, as our company has grown a lot, we definitely have gone through phases where we really struggled with this, and now we're kind of adding more and more to getting better at hitting our estimates, but we're still far from being perfect on this.
Yeah, that sounds like most teams. You know, in my case, today I have three engineering managers at three different sort of businesses, I would call them, and some of them have more than one product. And at all three, like, the engineering manager understands how we do things. And that has made the biggest difference for me being a non-engineer, my co-founders being non-engineers, and being able to actually speak with someone who understands why we want that. Because at the end of the day, we're the product people who are mostly having to figure out, doing the customer development, the interviewing, talking to customers. We're also doing the sales and marketing in between the co-founders. And then the engineering manager is his main responsibility. And there's he's and three of those today. And their main responsibility is basically to make sure we ship on time. And then so they work with the engineers and sometimes even the front end designers, and to figure out kind of when we can ship and how long things will take. So we're always just have this one point of contact that we're bugging and asking about what's the estimate? Like, how long is it going to take? Sometimes it's as quick as a conversation. We had a recent one where it's like, we didn't really know how long something would take. And we knew we still don't have any details on how we want to build it or whether we want to build it. But in a quick conversation, we just asked the engineer, hey, is this hard? Is this easy? How long would it take? He's like, oh, that's like easier than you think, because we thought it would be hard. And he's like, it'll take like less than a few hours to actually do, because we're already set up to do that based on how we're doing X, Y, and Z. So sometimes we just have all these casual conversations just because we're thinking about stuff. And we want to be able to prioritize even pre the spec work, or, you know, having some kind of interface or some kind of conversation with a customer. We want to know beforehand how long it's going to take. So if you can create a culture on your product development, product engineering, your engineering team and design teams around this idea of time, things will just go much better. And so culture, what I've noticed is there's a cultural shift that happens as a company scales beyond a few people, of some kind of process and people wanting to make it better. So like in your case, Steli, like, you know, I might, and again, I'm being the advisor here for a quick second. I might actually sit down with the team and be like, yo, why don't we do this? What are people's objections about giving a concrete estimate before we start work? What are people's objections of giving a concrete estimate before we even decide what to work on? And a lot of this honestly isn't about engineering. It's about the product team knowing these are the 10 things we could do, or these are the high level ideas based on our research, the product landscape across all the products in the market, us talking to customers, our interviews, our sales process, where the future of this product goes. These are the 10 things we could do next. How do we, you know, determine which ones we do? And that's the big question. And so then going to engineering and making time and an estimate a big component of that will actually dictate how fast you can move. It also creates much smarter opportunities that you might not be thinking of. And what I mean by that is when you start talking to engineering in this way, you're bringing them into the product development prioritization process. You're bringing them into the process of creation in a different way than they're used to. And that helps a lot, because they are, every time I've had these conversations on my teams, we always come up with a faster way to do something. That's what we want. We also come up with an easier way, because on product, we're like, here's the dream. Here's the dream. We need all this shit, right? And the engineer's like, I can build it. It'll take me 2 months. It's like, wait. Hold on. Fuck that. How do we do it faster? And like, again, the people I work with, they understand what I mean when how do I do it faster. I don't mean they stay up 24 hours a day. I mean, help us make the trade-offs. Help us be smarter about what we build, when we build it, and how small it is. And so, you know, I love the example you said about 6 weeks on Basecamp. One of the things that we have on our teams is like, if something takes more than a day and someone's scoping it so that it's a day, we're literally tearing it apart and saying, how do we chunk it out more? It means we haven't really thought about it, because a day is a long time. A day is a solid 4 to 8 hours of engineering time. That's a lot. And that's like, just think about the math. Let's say on average, like an engineer is like $50, which is like low, you know, typically, but just on average across the board, I'd say lower, but usually in the US, let's say it's $50 an hour, right? Wow, that's like 8 times 50. That's $400 you wasted if you're saying that thing costs $400. So another trick you can use, which is uncommon, is can you quantify the dollar value of it? Dollar value, I'm sorry, not on the ROI, but on the cost of it. Because then you can be like, oh crap, if they're giving me estimates that are $400 of time, I don't know. That's a lot of money. I could buy a lot of things with $400.
I love that. All right. So there's a lot more to unpack here. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening that are working with engineering teams or outsourcing development. And they're like, I hate how my engineering team gives me estimates. I want to learn more about it. And I know that you're going to be sharing more learnings, more process and more stuff on this on producthabits.com. So for everybody who's want to know more, learn more, just go to Product Habits, sign up if you haven't already, and make sure to look out for that. But I think for us, for this episode, this is it.
Yeah, just as a quick side note, out of the replies we've gotten on this survey, there are a few people that have written over 1,000 words. So we're going to analyze all of that and actually share it on the list. So,
holy
anyways,
shit.
Yeah, that's what's up. It's a very hot topic. All right, good luck in your engineering estimates.
Best of luck to all of us. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.